Hey, Double Shifters, it's Catherine, and I just want to let you know this is the last newsletter that I'm going to release for free to everyone into the podcast feed. So if you have been enjoying these audio newsletters, please become a member so you can enjoy them every week. It's one of our great perks of membership. And to sign up, you can go to thedoubleshift.substack.com/subscribers, where you're going to get 30 days of membership for free when you sign up that way. So come along, come be members with us. We're having a great time. You get audio newsletters, hangouts, really cool comment threads, and you get to support amazing feminist journalism. So I hope I'll see you in the membership group. Thanks so much. All right, now on to our newsletter. It is called Mothers Are Already the Safety Net, and Now We Must Be the Firewall. And this is the March 13th, 2024 newsletter. Today, you're just going to hear some thumps in the background. There are children upstairs thumping, and I can't do anything about it. This is the time I have to record the newsletter. So just bear with me. If you hear thumps, that's just life happening. All right, here we go. I am very angry right now. In my community, I'm watching a fixable systemic childcare problem be cemented squarely on the shoulders of individual families, rather than collectively addressing a real need. My beleaguered public school district is waving the white flag of surrender to its working parents over our after-school program. Dear Durham Public School families, we are excited to share that due to continued high demand for our elementary after-school programs, we will launch a new lottery system for our elementary programs for the 2024-2025 school year to ensure equitable access to after-school care. My community is entering our third year of an elementary school aftercare crisis, where hundreds more kids need care after school than there are slots for them. School ends at 2:15 p.m., and the district is declining to meet the demand for after-school programming. This is a fee-based program. Parents are lined up to pay for it because we need it to send our kids to public school while also having jobs. I could say a lot about how we got here, but the bottom line is that it isn't directly a funding issue, it's a staffing issue and an inability to think creatively, work on larger partnerships, and build collective solutions with stakeholders to solve this problem. Before the 2022-2023 school year, the wait list topped over 600 elementary kids, with parents only notified they didn't have a slot a few weeks before school started. This was one of the many examples of why our working conditions as parents are unacceptable. On the local level, I believe it's one of the reasons our school district is hemorrhaging in student enrollment numbers, even though Durham's population is exploding. What's happening in Durham is one example of a failure we're seeing across the country to treat childcare as a public good. After-school care, in particular, is a notoriously under-addressed afterthought of America's childcare crisis. Public schools essentially function as one of the only safety nets for families, so under-resourcing or dismantling what little public school-adjacent childcare infrastructure we have left is particularly painful. But rarely are these failures as simple as finding a single villain everyone can point to. It's more insidious. It's letting funding expire. It's apathy to the lived experience of working caregivers. It's those with power taking easy routes rather than solving problems because they think no one will complain. It's inoculating parents to a culture of childcare scarcity. It's telling parents to shut up and be grateful. It's a school district in the bluest area of North Carolina, slowly collapsing under its inertia and mediocrity. Versions of this kind of childcare infrastructure collapse are happening everywhere. Small, preventable tragedies that culminate into a throbbing crisis, especially as pandemic-era childcare supports are expiring. I'm tired of mothers who disproportionately take on childcare-related work disruptions being America's safety net. But now we must also be a firewall against all of the forces chipping away at the institutions we desperately need to work. So let me tell you, being a firewall is also hard. It takes time, something few of us have a lot of, and it can often feel futile. Specifically on the aftercare issue, I've given public comments at school board meetings. I've attended a community brainstorming session. I've met in small groups with school board members and a county commissioner. I've started a petition that has garnered hundreds of signatures asking the school board to address this. I've spoken about the aftercare crisis on local TV news twice. Some of this was during years where I wasn't personally impacted by the outrageously long wait list, but was still a cause I saw worthy of my time. And 3 years in, I, along with other parents who were advocating on this issue, don't have much meaningful progress to show for it. In fact, seeing the district announcing they are thrilled to announce that they're moving to a lottery in the name of equity is in some ways a big step backwards. This is not a victory for equity. This is admitting defeat by those who hold the keys to this public adjacent program and have neither the will nor the intention to meet the true childcare needs of our community. Equity would be ensuring that everyone who signed up for a slot before a certain date would get one. Equity would be instituting sliding scale fees. Lotteries are for the lucky. Lotteries socialize us to believe we probably won't be chosen. Lotteries should be for windfalls, not for essential services. During the 2023-24 aftercare sign-up, the district used a horrible, glitchy computer program, and waitlists started 2 minutes after enrollment opened. When questioned by the school board about why the slots had gone so quickly, Dr. Dietrich Danner, who was in charge of the program, equated it to checking your phone to get a ride at Disney World. It just goes really quick, he says. Well, Dr. Danner, if I could get off this merry-go-round ride straight from hell, I would. I am tired. I'm tired of years of childcare stress, which can have a long-term toll on maternal mental health. I'm tired of being expected to gamble with my access to childcare, and it makes me want to spit fire that our school district is socializing the community to treat public school aftercare as a rare privilege. We are not losing out on a chance to ride Space Mountain. We are losing our sanity, our stability, our ability to plan, and our ability to have a safe, affordable place for our kids to be while we work. I like to focus on solutions in my work, and there are available solutions to this specific PERMA crisis. Here are a few: public-private staffing and funding partnerships, creating pipeline programs between local community colleges and the aftercare program, offering scholarships to graduating seniors who spend a year working in public school aftercare, creating recruiting strategies like reaching out to retirees or stay-at-home parents. But right now, I'm just an angry firewall, refusing to accept this unacceptable status quo. For everyone out there who can't get after-school care, who can't get into summer camp, who've been told there's a 2-year-long wait list for childcare and there are skyrocketing fees, know that just because this is becoming more and more common does not mean it's okay. These aren't personal problems, they are systemic choices from a society that disdains families. So don't stop speaking up about why this is unacceptable. So much of this feels outside of our control, and it is. Sometimes the only thing we can control is our refusal to be complacent. So let's be firewalls together. Okay, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this rant. I want to know in the comments of this article, what is a situation around families or childcare, etc., in your life that you are refusing to be complacent about? What are you speaking up about, or do you want to speak up about? Let's encourage each other that speaking up is worth it. I want to hear your stories in the comments. All right, so now I'm going to change gears from my fire breathing to recommend a few Substacks to you. So first, I want to recommend The Purse by Lindsay Stanberry. It's all about money. She tells great stories in it, great interviews, and she has some great series. My favorite one is called Home Economics, where people share all of the nitty-gritty details about what they spend their money on in a month. I find it so fascinating. I open it as soon as it comes to my inbox and read it voraciously. And she also has a Division of Labor series where couples talk about how they divide household tasks and chores, which I think double shifters will love. So definitely sign up for The Purse by Lindsay Stanberry. The next Substack I want to recommend is I'm Walking Here by Liz Gumbinner, who is really one of the original mom influencers, really before influencers was a thing. thinkers, writers, curators. And her Substack, she describes as a mix of common sense advice, analysis of current events, observations on parenting and parenting culture, media commentary, unabashed feminism, Gen X nostalgia, oddly persistent optimism, gift guides and recommendations, to name a few things. So it is a very delightful hodgepodge. I read it, and I recommend that you do too. Links to both of those are in the show notes. And I also want to just remind you that I am really excited for our members only hangout on March 15th at 3 p.m. Eastern time. You should have gotten both a Google Calendar invite and an email about this in your inbox. The topic is going to be creativity and caregiving. And I'm thrilled that two longtime Double Shift members will join me in conversation about how creativity and caregiving intersect, overlap, conflict, and interplay. That's something I've been thinking about a lot these days, as my day job requires creativity, but writing doesn't always feel creative for me when it's part of my work. So I am excited that I'll be joined by musician Jasper Lepak and visual artist Elise Iris Maggie. And whether you are a professional creative, someone who explores creativity through hobbies, someone who shelved creativity because of your caregiving responsibilities, or someone who thinks that they don't have a creative bone in your body, this, I think, will be an enriching discussion and hangout for everyone. So I hope you will join us on Zoom. It's always a great time. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being part of the Double Shift. And if you would like to become a member and get these audio newsletters every week, go to thedoubleshift.substack.com/listeners for a 30-day free trial. That's thedoubleshift.substack.com/listeners for a 30-day free trial. Thanks as always. Bye.